Hey, this is Chris Cerrone, host of The Cerrone Show, and you're listening to one of my favorite podcasts, The Creative Soul Lab, with Sherry D. Teigman. By the way, do you know what the D stands for?
You're entering the Creative Soul Lab with Sherry D. Teigman, resident soul explorer, transformational coach, and sparkle maker. Tune in weekly for a blend of soul chats with thought leaders, entrepreneurs, everyday rock stars, and Sherry musings about finding your spark and passion in life and business. We explore how creativity and passion drive success and fulfillment and light up every aspect of who you are and what you do. Hey, and welcome back to the Creative Soul Lab with Sherry Teigman. Today is going to be just a Sherry ramble day, which I should say Sherry musings, but it's more the stuff that's on my mind from seeing what my clients are bringing to me, seeing what's going on in front of me, and kind of bridging the two to bring some perspective and some insight. Again, I don't think that anything's new under the sun, but we each have our own individual take on what we see, what we do with it, and then how we flip it back and express ourselves to the world. So today's topic is about if you think you're faking it or not. So most people, when they start out in a new industry or in a business or even in a new relationship, or I remember even when I had my kids, which instantly I was a mom, but did I feel like a mom? I had no idea what the hell I was doing. So I was a mom on paper. People have a new job on paper. I can be an entrepreneur on paper, but until you feel like that person, I think that nobody talks about how long it takes to go from feeling like a fake and imposter to actually doing what you're doing. And by the time you do what you do, you don't think about it like that anymore. So I want to kind of touch on that because I think that it holds a lot of people back from moving forward or really shining in their light in their businesses and their lives, because we spend so much time assuming that we know who we are and who we're supposed to be, playing those labels and perspectives of this is who I am, I'm a da 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 da, I am not this, that, and the other thing. And then we march forward in our life with those rules and regulations that not only society puts on us, religion puts on us, our communities put on us, but really what we put on ourselves, because nobody can make you think anything you don't want to think. And as you grow up and decide on the things that work for you and don't work for you, it takes real courage to understand whose messaging is whose and what you really want to believe going forward, even if you were taught to believe a different way. So I know for myself, when I started out on this entrepreneurial road, I was an observer. I'm an awesome cheerleader. I always have been. I love being inspired by people. So I became the best girl fan you can imagine. I would follow people, read all their books, read their posts, be all pumped up about everything they were doing, believe in them, promote them, connect people. I'm a cheerleader and a connector. And while those are great qualities, I pat myself on the back for them. I didn't do it. It's just how I am. I was born like this. But I know that they're qualities that are really appreciated and approved of in especially the entrepreneurial world, because we're all going our own way. So when there's somebody who believes in you when you're not ready to believe in yourself, or can connect you to someone who can help you see something or collaborate or something like that, it really is helpful and makes the road less lonely. But one of the downfalls of being a connector and a cheerleader by nature is that what doesn't come so naturally is stepping out into your own light. I'd rather watch everyone around me succeed and feel the glow from them and feel proud that I don't really think about that I had a part in it, actually, because it isn't never about me. It doesn't come from an ego place. So I grappled with the idea of how do you build your own brand? How do you become your own person? And I'm talking about business-wise right now, but obviously this applies as a person as well. How do you become that new person at the table, that new girl or guy in the crowd, while owning who you are, while fitting in but standing out? It's like a real balancing act. And something that I've learned probably in about the last month, I'd say, I've been in business about, what are we in now? We are September. About a little over a year. And while I was succeeding in making connections, even getting clients, I still hadn't stepped into my role in my world of what I wanted to be, even though I teach it to my clients all the time. So I felt like a fraud. I felt like an imposter that, okay, I'm cheerleading everyone so well that they're getting results that they want, or they're changing their lives or changing their relationships in their marriages, with their children, mainly with themselves, and then with my business clients, you know, working with them on copy and their messaging and authentic voice, and everyone's rocking it. And I was still sitting here being in service. So I'm obviously not saying don't be in service. Of course be in service, but I wasn't flipping what I teach onto myself as fully as I needed to. And I had posted in a thread this morning in Keith Griffiths' group that I love, the online creator launchpad. And we were talking about, the post was about Sunday wins. And I talked about how this month has been, financially, I've made the most money that I've made in my business to date in 1 month, which I was blown away. I did my numbers last night and realized, okay, now I understand why people say track it, because, you know, it comes in, it goes out very quickly. I'm a single mom of two kids. But I didn't realize what I brought in. And when I saw the number in front of me, I always thought in the past, when I make a number that's higher than I've ever made, it'll feel so good, I'll feel so accomplished, all that stuff. It felt great. I'm not going to say that I was really proud of myself. But what I realized was what I've gained this month, the reason I made more money this month is because what I've gained in connection, in perspective, in standing up and owning myself. I mean, this is the month that I launched my podcast. I've made connections that I couldn't have dreamed of. And like big names, small names, it doesn't mean anything to me. Everyone puts their pants on the same way every day. But, you know, getting the kudos and the notification and the backup of people saying, oh, you're a natural at this. You're doing great. I'm so happy I met you. You've changed me. And it's just, you know, that real community piece. It's like, we're all going at it. It's not one person above another. Is really what changed my month. And it just shows that, yes, it's as trite and true as they always say. The money will follow when you step into your passion. But there was a big mindset shift for me. I'll say big because it made a big difference, but it was so subtle for me to say, I'm literally going through this and I'm faking it. I'm not earning $100,000 yet. I am new at this. This is new to me. But I'm rolling with people who have been in it for a long time or who create things that I wouldn't know how to even figure out yet. And I used to hold those people to a higher regard because, oh my God, they can figure out ClickFunnels. They know how to launch a program. They understand all the web stuff. And then I would fall into, I'm not techie. I'm a creative. I don't like goal setting, all that stuff. And I was keeping myself small, thinking I was staying an individual. Well, I'm always going to be an individual because by nature, as hard as you try to fit me into a box, I will always crack out of it somehow. So I realized that by taking the tools that are out there and making them mine and making them work for what my dreams are, for what my goals are the way to go about it. So am I not a success because I don't know how to work ClickFunnels yet, or because I haven't mastered email marketing, or because I haven't launched 10 successful programs? No. I'm a success because I feel like a success. I'm a success because I'm having an impact on the world that I want to, and that's not being an imposter. I'm fulfilling and actually doing what I set out to do. Do I have a lot to learn about the business side of it? Absolutely. If you told me 6 months ago that I would be where I am now, I would have literally, literally laughed in your face. And we don't remember to look back and see how far we've come. We don't remember to say, okay, I may not be this person or that person, but who am I? What's my message? What do I have to bring to the world? Why does it matter? Why does it sound different than what anyone else has? Why is it complementary to what someone else has? What pieces of what I've learned come together to make my own patchwork of what I want to give to the world? So I don't need to be a guru or a leader. That for some people, that archetype is what they want. I always want to stay the connector and the cheerleader, but from my own place of power. And the place of power that comes is when I realize that I am doing that. I can hop on a Periscope or a Blab and be the expert in what I know, even if I'm not the expert in 5 million other things that I will never master. And frankly, I have no interest in mastering. So, you know, we keep thinking we have to get somewhere or be someone. When I'm there, I will be. No, it's not true. You are already, that's so trite. You are already all that you need to be. You also have to just start. You have to start in small steps. Make a connection with one person. Try to help one person. Does it mean you have a 12-week program about it? No. But what you will gain from helping one person with something you know how to do or give or see differently than they do, I promise you, you will feel so different about yourself, your value, your service, and in turn, your business, because you'll get clarity on what you really want. I put up a website a year ago, took very pretty pictures. I found a photographer. We went out in the snow. I actually got frostbite on my feet from wearing pretty little shoes in the snow in New York in December. The pictures are beautiful. I had so much feedback. Oh, you look so beautiful. You look at that. I can't tell you. And it's I want to explain what I'm saying is I don't want to look pretty. So I don't want someone to say, oh, she's really like pretending she doesn't want to look pretty. I really don't. I don't care. There's part of me that would rather put up ugly selfies with me in my yoga pants and my hair up in a bun, but the passion in my eyes, than a very pretty staged picture that I don't even look or feel like myself. And I realized I was sending a mixed message on my website. You click on the website, the pictures are beautiful, and it does not represent me at all. And I'm a copywriter. I love the words. I'm now tweaking the words. But because I started stepping into what I really believe in instead of worrying about a business model or a template I'm supposed to be in, all of a sudden I got all this clarity of, what the hell is this? I would never want anyone to click on that website and find comfort in my pretty pictures. How does that help someone who's looking to spark up their soul in their life or change their business so that it sounds more like them? Why do you need someone in a pretty outfit that you don't? So again, it's just the visual brand of it. But if that doesn't represent what's inside of me and my packages weren't clear enough in representing what I really do, it's not going to sell. So if it comes back to the monetization of it, but the reason it doesn't sell is because I don't feel it. It's not that I couldn't sell it, but I didn't even feel like it felt like me. So why would that be what I go around talking about? You know, I don't like the sleazy side of sales, but when I feel like I have something to offer in somebody's life, it's my responsibility to try to help them. If they invest in me, it's an investment in themselves. I help plenty of people for free, so I don't feel like it's not an equal value. But if they're ready to show up really and get, you know, individualized, then they're paying for it. I'm actually out of the equation. I'm offering a service. It's not a personal offense or a compliment if they hire me. It just means I'm offering what they need, and it is personal in the sense they connected with me. But then I have a responsibility to fully be authentically me and not sound like someone else or look like someone I don't want to be. So, side note is I'm now redoing my website and I'm redoing my pictures, not because I think that's what sells. Well, it does, but that's not why I'm doing it. I'm doing it because I want it to feel fully like me. When my creativity and passion comes popping out of the website because you see it in my face and in my words and in my packages, that's where the connection is. I see so many clients of mine come to me for copy help, and they're saying they're pressing pain points. They're saying what they're supposed to. They use the industry's catchphrases. I'm not getting any business. Well, because you're not in the website. So why would someone else be in the website? So, you know, we kind of step back, and to me, copy and branding and even the service itself is connection. It's a heart connection. I don't care if you're selling widgets or toilet paper. It's a heart connection of why I should buy from you as opposed to somebody else. So as a typical Shari rambling, today I really wanted to touch on the feeling like an imposter as opposed to I'm faking it and doing it. So you know, as little kids, we have an imagination and we pretend that we're the pizza maker or we're playing doctor or I'm playing the mommy and I'm playing house. What imagination does is it takes you out from where you are and puts you in a different role so you can feel, well, what does a pizza maker do when he makes pizza? How does a pizza maker serve his pizza? How does he take the money for his pizza? So obviously I'm going deeper in than four-year-olds who are playing it think of, but they innately go to that and they don't act like them their regular selves when they're the pizza maker, when they're the daddy, when they're the mommy, when they're the ice cream truck guy. They step into a role and then they become that for that period of time. So when you step into a new role, it's going to feel like imaginary play at first. And then you start to feel what parts of it feel like me, what parts of it are to put on. I'm not that kind of entrepreneur. I'm not that kind of mother. Like I said before, I had a baby. I held him in my arms. I loved him immediately. I had no idea what to do. I was surrounded by books and many people who wanted to tell me how to do it. I had to find my own way. And until I found my own way, I faked it. I didn't drop him. I didn't kill him. I didn't drown him. But we muffled along at the beginning together. And he's almost 16. And so far, so good. I think I did a pretty good job of making it up until I figured it out. But I think it's very key of everybody stopping to sit on the sidelines waiting for that magic moment where you feel like you're in business, where you feel like you're in your relationship, where you feel like you're in command of your life. You have to start by faking it. You have to try things on and take imaginary roles, even if you use like an archetype perspective of what would the wild woman do? What would the sage do? What would the wise man do? What would the warrior do? And play around with what it feels like to be in different roles in relation to what you're trying to achieve, because the answers lie in how far you can stretch your mind. So I would love to hear your perspectives on this. You can pop up on Facebook. You can shoot me an email at shari@shariteigman.com. Hop on my website. I would really love to hear what your take on was this, what your perspective was, and I will speak to you on the next episode. Take care. Thanks for listening to the Creative Soul Lab with Shari D. Teigman. To learn more about finding your spark and lighting up your life and biz with Shari, come in and join the fun at shariteigman.com.